In John chapter 15, verse 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Today, Jesus skips dessert and goes right to the metaphor. This is day 19. Welcome to the Journey Through John podcast from Willow Creek Community Church, where every day we set aside space in our lives to experience God's word. Together, we'll discuss the context and meaning of each passage and how the book of John can help us understand more about who God is and the story he's writing for each of us every day. Welcome back to the Journey Through John podcast. My name is Tyler. Guiding us through this, I'm joined today with Brendan Lang, who wrote the commentary for the Journey Through John study, and Amber Patton, who's our adult ministries pastor here at the North Shore.
Hey, guys.
And we're also joined with a special guest, all the way from Willow Wheaton, the lead pastor, is Reese Whitehead.
Hey, guys. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Some people are going to like think that we just brought you on for the accent, for sure. But what we know is, you know a good bit about ministry, too. You've been there for 8 years, right?
It's predominantly my accent.
Well, yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, we don't want to discount
It's like the cherry on top is what it
right,
really is.
It really is. Yeah.
You can say anything, right?
We're going to have you reread the entire book of John up to this point, and we're just going to use your version
of
the scripture.
Yeah, what a miss. I mean, Tyler, you're great and all, but we could have had Reese out here.
Yeah, we could have had him every day reading.
Soothing Australian accent, reading the text.
Yeah. How's Wheaton enjoying the journey study?
Wheaton has dove in fully into this journey. We are really enjoying the podcast. I think more people are listening to the podcast than we've ever had. All of our books have been taken for the first time, and I'm talking about our children's ministry, our students, and also the adult books. So many families are doing this journey, and it's just a really fun time to be around Willow Wheaton and God's activity as we're diving into his word.
Question for you, Reese. Do you have any houseplants?
Houseplants. You know what? The closest I'd probably go to a houseplant is we still have one of those Christmas plants in our living room. What are the red
poinsettias?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so here we are deep into February, and one of the plants is still surviving.
I don't know how you do that. So those are hard to keep alive anyways.
It's an impressive plant right now.
I kill pretty much every houseplant I have. The only houseplant I've kept for more than like 2 or 3 months is an aloe plant that I recently learned you're supposed to water.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that.
I mean, there is like liquid in them, the aloe.
Right. Well, but I thought they just like sucked humidity from the air and that's how they It's a desert plant, right? But that's not the case. I don't know. What about you guys? Do you have house plants you try to keep alive?
No, we don't have.
I don't know anything about plants.
We have a lot of fake plants. Like we've got the IKEA, you know.
Oh,
there you go.
Add some green to our place, but it's nothing that's really living.
We don't either because we have cats that eat them and then throw them up.
I wasn't expecting that.
We do not have plants because I will not clean that up anymore.
Anymore?
I mean, we've tried. And
what kind of cats do you have?
Wow.
Bengals? Little cheetahs.
We had cats on our farm and they didn't eat the grass.
No, they eat everything. They'll eat any plant that comes in the house. So I feel bad.
If
you give me flowers, I'm going to throw your flowers away immediately.
So the key with that is you got to give them real food.
So Justin did not get you flowers for Valentine's Day.
No. We have rules around that. No flowers, no plants.
And that guy's got it lucky.
Well, I like chocolate though.
Fair enough. Well, Jesus seems to know something about bearing good fruit and producing good fruit. So, Brendan, why don't you take us through the reading for day 19?
Day 19, a fruit-bearing vine and branches. One of the primary crops grown in both ancient and modern Israel is grapes. A good portion of Israel is dominated by hills, and grapevines thrive on this rocky terrain in ways that other crops cannot. Because grapevines are so abundant in this region, these crops were often used as metaphors in the Bible to describe abstract spiritual matters. Ancient Israel was frequently described as a vineyard or vine that God had prepared and planted. Unfortunately, the image did not always cast Israel in the most favorable light. Ancient Israel was often depicted as a vine which failed to bear fruit. This conveyed that they failed to live out their God-given calling. In John 15, Jesus picks up this familiar metaphor and instructs his disciples to bear fruit just as God had instructed ancient Israel to bear fruit. But Jesus adapts the metaphor slightly. Ancient Israel repeatedly demonstrated through their shortcomings that people cannot bear fruit by their own power. We need the power of God in our lives. So Jesus says in verses 1 and 5, I am the true vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Here Jesus identifies himself as both the I am and the true vine. He is God in the flesh and the fulfillment of everything ancient Israel was supposed to be. He is the true vine which is able to bear fruit. He also adds that we can be part of this fruit-bearing vine as branches. We can live out our God-given calling, but we can't do it on our own. We have to remain connected to him, just as fruitful branches must remain connected to their vine. This metaphor served as a challenge for the disciples who would soon lose their firsthand access to Jesus. Only by staying connected to him through avenues like prayer, the Holy Spirit, Scripture, and community could they thrive in their lives and ministry. The same goes for us. If we want to grow into the people God has called us to be, it requires more than a one-time decision to believe. We must remain intimately connected to him.
Today we're reading John chapter 14, verse 15 through chapter 15, verse 17. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I choose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other.
Day 19, questions. I'm going to read the questions and then give us a little time and space to process or journal after each one. In John 14, 15 through 16, Jesus tells his disciples that he is soon going to leave, but that he would remain with them. While this was probably very confusing for the disciples, he was reassuring them that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, would come to care for and guide them. When we decide to follow Christ, the Holy Spirit is the presence of God that dwells within us, helping us live as God wants and building Christ's church on earth. How do you know that the Holy Spirit dwells within you? How do you experience him in your life? John 15, 5 through 8 paints a metaphor that we are branches and Jesus is the vine. We have the potential to bear much fruit and bring glory to God when we stay connected to him. But this is entirely dependent on our choice to remain connected or not. When we cut ourselves off from Jesus, we cannot produce fruit, we cannot make disciples, and we won't bring glory to God. What are the things that cut you off from the vine and prevent you from bearing fruit? What fruit does your life produce that brings glory to God?
So today our reading sort of talks about the Holy Spirit, and then it talks about this metaphor that Jesus uses for us as Christians, but also primarily for his disciples, about how they are meant to live going forward. But Brendan, you mentioned something in the commentary about how the nation of Israel has been referred to as a vine for a long time. This would have been very familiar to them as Jews, understanding themselves within this context of them being a vine.
There are a number of places in the Old Testament where God talks about Israel as though they're a vine that he has sort of planted, prepared, made settings just right for them so that they could sort of be fruitful and be the community he wanted them to be. It was a metaphor that God often used. And probably my favorite place is Isaiah 5, where basically God presents almost this love song about Israel. And he uses this metaphor. He describes Israel as sort of this choice vine that he's planted in this choice place. And it's a metaphor really for what he's done for the people of Israel. He's planted them in that land that he promised them. And he expected them to produce this great fruit, but all they got, all he got out of them is bad grapes. And so I think that metaphor is what Jesus is playing off of. He says, I am the true vine. And if you want to live out that God-given calling, you want to produce fruit like God always expected ancient Israel to do, well, the way you're going to do it is by staying connected to me. Obviously, ancient Israel proved they couldn't do it by their own power.
I can't help but notice that there's a lot of wine, grape, vine metaphors used throughout Jesus's ministry to yep. for various ways. I mean, even from his first sign that he turned water to wine, all the way through to the Last Supper where, you know, we don't get it in John, but, you know, he says, this is my body and this is my blood, and you drink it and do this in remembrance of me.
Yeah, it provides a lot of vivid imagery, and it's partially because it's very common in that part of the world. In Mesopotamia, they had beer. That was what they drank there. In Israel, it was wine because they had a lot of grapes, vineyards, vines. There was something special about the soil there that produced really great stuff. And you can see it there today.
I want to jump into this metaphor a little bit more because it is very relevant to us today. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches, and really lays out how we are meant to bear fruit. But I wonder, Reese, what does living a life that is bearing fruit actually look like? How should we actually live in this context?
What's interesting in this text is there's both a command and a promise attached to the command. So the command is remain in my love, stay attached to the vine, right? Abide in me. And I think we experience in the pace of our life today, there is a gravitational pull that kind of causes us to drift from our connection to the vine. And we think about the fact that this metaphor is so rich. The branch doesn't give anything to the vine. The vine is giving all the nutrients, all the life into the branches. And Jesus says, if you're not attached, then those branches will wither and die. Sometimes I think we give a kind of cosmetic attachment to the vine. You know, 80, 90 minutes a couple of times a month, we go along to church on the weekend. And this is our way of saying, yeah, we're kind of superficially attaching ourselves to the vine.
We're grabbing on at a distance a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hoping that still the promises that are available when you stay attached to the vine will be accessible to us. But in the full metaphor that Jesus is giving here, again, the branch doesn't contribute anything to the vine. The vine is attached to the root system. And here there's this metaphor of this is the Godhead in the root system through Jesus, the vine, and from Jesus through us. Theologians use this term, the regeneration. This is the uprooting of our sin nature to be replanted in Christ's nature. So we actually take on a new nature. So when we're truly attached to the vine, this new nature becomes available to us. And when that happens, Jesus goes on to say, now there are promises that will come to us when we abide and stay attached to him, the vine. Now there's actually four fruits that come when we stay attached to the vine. So the first is in verse 5, where Jesus promises that if you remain in me, then you'll bear much fruit. So what is much fruit? The first is that we will experience much fruit in the kingdom expressed through our life, through our ministry. Scholars use this term, soul winning, is a part of this fruit that Jesus is speaking about right here. That the kingdom will be expanded and we'll get to experience that activity.
Sort of the way that we affect the people around us, the evangelism.
Absolutely.
The way people see how we act.
Yeah,
and
it's so good. I mean, he's speaking specifically at this time to those initial disciples, right? Who their mission, what he's been setting them up to do the last few years is to establish the kingdom of God on earth. He's equipped them to go continue the ministry.
Yeah.
Right. And in our day, that we can experience the same that the disciples saw in expanding the kingdom of God, that we could see friends and family and neighbors and co-workers starting to step over the line of faith and the excitement that that brings, that we get to be a tool in the hand of God, seeing his ministry expand. So that's the first promise that will bear this kind of fruit. The second is found in verse 7, that if you remain in me, then you'll experience answered prayer. And so as the kingdom becomes more evident in our lives as we remain attached to the vine, then the desires of our heart become more of the kingdom values that are living in us. This is not answered prayer from a selfish sin nature, but we have actually Christ's nature. Mm-hmm. So those answered prayers are kingdom prayers.
Kind of what we talked about yesterday, yeah. Which is this idea that if it is God's will for things to happen, yeah. But the more...
If you ask in my name, right?
Right. And the more... So what you're saying is the more connected to the vine that we are, the more we will just be centered towards God's will for our lives.
Right. The third is God's love that will dwell in us. And this is a promise from verse 10. Again, if you keep my commands and remain in my love, then this is like a deep love from God that will be expressed in our lives. And then the fourth fruit, the fourth promise, if you will, in verse 11 is about experiencing true joy in our life, where it goes back to if you're cosmetically attaching yourself to the vine, 80, 90 minutes every couple of weeks going to church, that true joy does not take root in your life. It's a surface kind of joy that's dictated by feelings of what happens if we have a good day or good things happen to us. This is not what the promise here is. Mm-hmm. This promise is like the agricultural metaphor where the roots going deep is where the nutrients and the moisture is. This is what God's promising us, this deep joy that comes from God's heart to us.
Yeah, and I thought as you were saying that, connecting this back to the joy as I was reading this, the staying connected really comes back to obedience. But I know that word is a little bit of a trigger word, obedience. It's kind of like, oh, I have to follow rules. But it's really that same picture of I stay connected, I stay obedient, and then I receive this fruit. Yes. I receive the joy that I can have. And so what does that obedience look like in our lives?
Yeah.
I don't know a ton about the standard theological ways that people are dissecting these passages. But what I do know is a little bit about growing grapes, actually. I'm going to pull from Brendan's experience here. But there is this thing of wine grafting and vine grafting. It's this idea that there is a vine that can be growing for hundreds of years. And while it can't produce fruit anymore because vines just age out, like people, our lifespans age out, you can actually graft new branches onto that old vine. Mm. And they call that old wine. They're getting the nutrients and the experience and that interesting flavor from that old vine, but they're actually still able to produce fruit with all that experience. And I think about that for us, like how often do we choose to rely on the experience of things that have come before us and the people who, like the pastors, the elders who have shown us the way? We've done it a lot, honestly, in this study. You look at the Pharisees and like, how are we Pharisees? How are the people who have come before us Pharisees? But let's be real. There's actually a lot of wisdom that can come from the people who have been around this faith and Christianity as a whole that we can learn from.
In verse 2, that's exactly what they're talking about. And I underlined this because I thought that was interesting that, well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So sometimes we think that the pruning only happens to the dead branches, but it's actually those that are producing fruit are still being pruned constantly. So we as Christians, we are constantly being pruned. Even though we are still producing fruit, God is still always pruning in our lives.
So one way of looking at what we've said so far is that, you know what, if I go to church and I read the Bible, I do all the good Christian things, I'm good. I'm attached to it. Is that it? So I just do all the things and I'm all set for whatever, all these abundances that Jesus has laid out?
Well, here we are deep into this journey through John. And a danger in this could be I've committed to doing the study every day and to be at service every weekend to hear the John sermons. And this is a way that I am doing something to attach myself. And although, yes, that's good, there is a danger when we get to a place of, like what you said earlier, Amber, about this is an act of obedience. It's not an act to earn God's love, earn these four fruits, these promises that Jesus extends in this metaphor for us. You know, if we're good, we could increase God's love for us. God's love knows no increase or decrease for us. It knows no degrees. Therefore, this is about us increasing our awareness of God's love, awareness of God's activity in our lives. This is the underlying promise in this passage that we could see even more of the kingdom, be even more aware of God's presence and God's power in our life when we remain in the vine and when we abide in God's love. This is what the promise is.
You know, you said something too, Amber, that God is going to prune even the healthiest of vines so that it can produce more fruit. Mm-hmm. And I think about a lot of people who grew up in the church and no longer go to church. I have a lot of friends that their church is just hanging out with their friends who all used to go to church, right? Mm-hmm. And it's this idea that, you know what? The church hurt me. It was painful. And you know what? I'm pretty sure God doesn't love me the way he did before. I think I'm done. I'm going to disconnect. And the truth in this is this reality that that's not what God calls us to do. There's going to be painful prunings that require us to remain attached to the vine so we can actually get what we need
Yeah, I mean, it actually makes you more fruitful. We've talked about going through hard times. We talked about the man born blind and suffering and all this. But those difficult times where he's pruning us, it's setting us up so we can actually be far more fruitful than we would have been before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We also have to remember, too, like, this is the long game. This is our whole life. And so we live in the very moment, but God sees 9 steps in front of us that we can't. And so although we may be in a pruning season right now, he has a plan for that 10 years down the road, perhaps. We can't see it, but it is that remaining. It's that staying faithful. It's that awareness of what God is doing in our life and persevering that brings us to that end game.
It's true. Like, that's why this is really a perfect metaphor for the walk of faith and how we're supposed to produce fruit. I don't know the deep theological roots of this, but I do know that with wine, if they plant new vines, it's like minimum 3 years before you start producing fruit that can be used. And peak, you're waiting like 10, 15 years. It's a long game. Mm-hmm. And to the point where you have people out in France that have vines that are 150 years old and stuff. But it's not something that comes quickly. It's something that's hard work.
And you think about wine, like, the best wine is the oldest. It's aged well. Like you said, the crops have been well cared for. And I think for us, like, we want to be old wine, right? Like, we want our lives to look like that beautiful product.
Our pruning has to be a focus on the so that. We are pruned so that we'll produce more fruit, so that the kingdom will be even more expressed in our lives. Mm. The so that is the important aspect.
That's good.
What I think, too, we've said before, is this idea that when we understand the context by which Jesus has a plan for our lives, mm-hmm. it allows us to go through those hard times knowing that God's glory might be shown in the end.
And it helps, again, just to think back to these original 12. I mean, Jesus has sort of set them up. He said, you know, I'm going to die. But they don't have this totally figured out until Jesus actually does die on the cross, till he actually does rise from the dead. But they went through a lot of difficulty after that. They went through some really hard ministry. And it was a promise to them that even when you go through these hard times you're going to experience are actually going to set you up so you have more fruitful, right, prosperous ministry. Think about the Apostle John, right? The guy we think probably wrote this book. And if he wrote it like in 80, 90 AD, when most scholars would suggest, I mean, that's a long time. And most of his buddies are gone. Mm-hmm. Most of them have been killed at this point.
So wait, most of the disciples?
Most of the disciples.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow.
So you imagine, like, he's kind of remaining in a lot of ways by himself. He's connected to other Christians, of course. But I guess the point is, he's writing down these promises from Jesus, hanging on to them himself, knowing if he remains in him, he's going to continue to experience this fruit, that Jesus is someone worth staying with, remaining with.
Mm-hmm. Brendan, what you're on about, I think powerful, is this longevity of John's ministry. Mm-hmm. This is him living out what it means to abide and remain in God's love.
So for us, we're tied into the vine. We're coming to church regularly, and we're diving into the word regularly. I mean, this study is going to end. What are some ways that we can actually stay tied in and be discovering what God has in store for us?
Yeah, well, I think, Reese, you mentioned it. Part of it is staying connected to your church community. So don't make it an 80 or 90 minute commitment every month, but actually stay connected that way. Also with groups and people in your life, find that group that you can be studying scripture with, that you can be diving deeper into. But what I go back to when I think about this is really this commandment to love each other. And the practical piece to take out of that is, who in your life has God placed there? Again, we talked the other day about being a pastor and a shepherd, but who are you called to love? And what does that look like? And so for a tangible first step, I would really be encouraging you, think about the people you share your lives with and how you can actually begin to show this fruit in your life to them. And it's relational. It comes down to living your life with people, sharing your life, and sharing who Jesus is through living a relational life with them without an agenda. And we've talked about this many times, but just inviting people into Jesus' love through your life.
John writes in a different letter. He says, God is love.
Yeah.
And so I think there's something about loving other people that when we do that, just like he asked us to do in yesterday's reading, right? When we imitate Jesus' love, we, in a sense, stay connected to God because we are living out the very character of who he is. Yeah.
Towards the end of this passage, Jesus introduces the Holy Spirit. And I think there's an invitation for us to invite the Holy Spirit throughout our entire day. Mm. There's a really tangible way to stay attached to the vine. Is this is not just your chair time, but it's actually inviting the flow of the Holy Spirit to your awareness for the entire day.
It's that ministry of presence, or that ministry where you know he's aware. It's like what Paul talks about, pray without ceasing, right? Mm-hmm. Sort of living in a way that you're cognizant of the fact that Jesus, that the Spirit is always with you.
That's right.
Thanks for joining us for the Journey Through John podcast. To check out even more resources, visit our journey page at willowjourney.org. And be sure to share your journey experience on social media with the hashtag WillowJourney. If you have any questions or would like to learn more about the ministries of Willow Creek Community Church, check out willowcreek.org. We'll see you tomorrow.